Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome everyone to the Red Sky Radio Show, part of, or the Robin Walters Show, I should say, part of Red Sky Radio. I had that backwards. Okay, as I look at all the stuff I want to cover today, I can't buy 3 hours on the air here on the fly. I'm going to have to do what I can with these precious 56 minutes, so I'm not going to fiddle around here, which I don't think I fiddle around, but maybe you do. I do start with good news, try to end with good news. Last couple weeks, it's been just nothing but good news. I'm going to save some of the good news for next week because I know you're fatiguing of all the good news. There's a lot to share. Oh my gosh, what's going on? But I am going to start with something a bit on the lighter side and a good side, dealing with a Super Bowl. I'm not here to weigh in on the Eagles versus the Chiefs. That's not the point of this. Yeah, I tilted toward one team, but, you know, my Detroit Lions didn't make it, and I just wasn't, I watched it. I wasn't super into it. But I did have a prayer about that game, and the prayer I had for that game is let the team win whose players get an opportunity on national TV in front of gazillions of people to give God the glory. And that turned out to be Philadelphia. Now, I understand Patrick Mahomes is a Christian, though I know he said a few things after certain games. But I really liked what I heard from a multitude of different Philadelphia Eagles players. Now, the fans in Philadelphia didn't behave that way, but my only concern was, I don't want the team to win that won't glorify God. You got this national stage, do it. And I told my siblings, some of them, I have five brothers, and I told a couple of them, I said, you know, this is back a month or so, I don't think the Lions are going to win. And why? And they were upset because they're Lions fans. They're obviously, we're all raised in Michigan. I said, because I don't know of anybody on the Lions team that is a kind of a standout Christian, somebody who would, without question, give God glory for the victory. And I think that's a difference. And they did drop out. They need a couple of Christians, or Christians that speak up. Anyway, to me, that's good news. It was an answer to my prayer, and that's all that I need to say. Okay, next piece of good news. So Joe Biden doesn't do jack about the Ukraine-Russian war other than ramp up the war machine, send billions and billions and billions of wasted dollars, wasted money of ours. Joe Biden, oh gosh, I'm sorry, I don't want to end up in jail, so I better stop there. That's how much I can't stand the guy. He's got people whispering in his ear about what to do and what to do there and what to do this. And along comes Donald Trump, has a phone call the other day with Vladimir Putin. They have agreed to start negotiations immediately to end the war in Ukraine. To start negotiations immediately. That call that dealt with getting, it wasn't the negotiations, it was just about getting the negotiate. Is there a path to peace here? That call with Vladimir Putin was an hour and a half long. That's how long Trump and Putin talked. And what did Trump say? This is promises made, promises kept. He said, when I get into office, you know, at the right time, I want to do it right away, but he's got so much to do. He said, I'll call Mr. Putin. We get along well, and we'll discuss this thing. And so they are planning, it looks like, to meet very soon and tentatively in Saudi Arabia. And people say, well, maybe that's not the best ground upon which. You know what? I don't care what the ground is. Trump will hold his own wherever he is. Has Biden talked with Putin in the last 4 years? I can find no evidence of it. He said, yeah, I've talked to him. I know him. I know Vladimir, blah, 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 blah. Hard to cozy up to the guy, isn't it, after you claim Russian interference and disinformation in the 2020 campaign? Goodness. He hasn't talked with him. He couldn't hold a coherent conversation. And in fact, from comments I have heard, I mean, I don't speak Russian, but what the translation said or intimated was that he has absolutely no respect from Joey, no brains, no cojones, no morals, Biden. And he would hold Kamala Harris in even greater disdain because she's just a Bambi with no brains, none whatsoever. Joe's brains are fried. Hers, I'm not sure she ever got any. Okay, now the next thing is sort of my transition piece from good news into the rest of the news. I love this. The time was coming. It was just a matter of time. Trump has announced that in a coming news conference, he is going to start naming names specifically of people where they've got the goods on them for participating in deceptive, disingenuous, illegal behavior, maybe some or all of the above. The names are coming out. Just like last week we mentioned that the Kristi Noem was stating that they're going to release the files, you know, on RFK Jr., MLK, JFK, and then continue right on down with Jeffrey Epstein and the like, going right on down, naming names publicly. It is this naming of names, the outing of all the crooks and the scumbags on the left, and there'll be a few people on the alleged conservative side are going to show up on the Epstein list. I guarantee it. But Trump can talk about releasing it because he's not on it. The left wanted to say, well, try to claim that he went to Pedo Island. Trump said, well, that's nonsense. First of all, I didn't. Second of all, to prove that I didn't, we'll release the names of the people who did go there. And you know what? You haven't heard jack squat crap diddly from the left on that particular issue since. They're sweating. They're sweating in their pajamas. They're twisted in their underwear over all these things which are happening so fast they simply cannot keep up with them. All right. That's going to be really interesting. But the naming of names sits at the top of my list of reasons why to pray for Donald Trump. Safety. Nothing will trigger the left, no pun intended, more than to be outed. It's the end of their life, and they'll take measures to end somebody else's life if it means protecting their life. And, boy, just pray. All right, so Trump and Musk, this Doge, oh, my gosh. These guys are so brilliant. Do you know, I can't fit this in today other than to say Musk has six young men, I think they're all men, ridiculously off the chart smart like he is, that have gone through these computers with various algorithms and putting these things together. It's an ingenious play, but actually, I got to save part of that for later because it's going to lead to something that I have said for 2 years needs to be done. But Musk, being far, far smarter than I, probably any one of the six kids are, as to the strategy here, which is nothing short of sheer brilliance, which I'll get to in the second half of the program. Save the best to last. But as part of the Doge investigations, we've got the fact that they are finding people where they're finding Social Security payments that have been made forever. I mean, the people are so long gone dead, it's ridiculous, that are still getting, they're finding them, they keep turning them over. And, you know, Trump's goal here is to reduce the deficit. Okay, the deficit's rising like crazy, right? It has been, up to $36 trillion. First, when you want to turn a train around, the first thing you have to do is bring it to a stop, right? Can't turn it around when it's going 80 miles an hour. You got to slow that puppy down, get to a halt, then you turn the thing around and go back the other way. So the first thing the administration needs to do is to stop the increase in the deficit. But that's not their goal. They believe they can not only stop it, but reduce the deficit by $1 trillion. And I'm not sure the time frame, but this blows the left away because they're just using your money, my money, with money they print, putting a sandbag around the neck and throwing our future generations into the ocean so that they can continue to pay the leftist organizations around the world, throughout this country, the media. It's unbelievable. And Doge really hasn't gone deeply into the Department of Miseducation and Indoctrination, sometimes known as the Department of Education. But the Democrats are just going bananas over the fact that he said, you know, it's not, we don't need to cut back their funding. We need to just eliminate it. Just get rid of it. And it's not even a constitutional entity. It really isn't. There's no place in the Constitution for education. Education is the role of the states and the parents, not the federal government. So you want to talk about, I mean, the new buzzwords for the left is, oh, we're having a constitutional crisis. I saw a thing on TV where they quoted, I don't know, a half a dozen or more yin-yangs from various networks just saying we got a constitutional crisis. And what it reminded me of is the whole COVID vaccine hoax, because it was. It's safe and effective. I saw this little montage of no less than 18 to 20 different reporters saying it's determined that the COVID vaccine is safe and effective. They got their marching orders. They're told what to say. They don't have any independent thought, because a lot of the people on news media aren't really super bright. I mean, they sound nice with a teleprompter. But the fact is that the Democrats with the Department of Education, if it's gone, it is what funds this left-wing woke DEI crap that flows downstream from government with our tax dollars, whether we actually paid them in or whether they're dollars that have been printed to the various states. Take half the money that's spent at the Department of Education. You can distribute it around to the states, but without the mandatory guidelines, and half the money spent on the Department of Education will net more money to the states than what they receive now. What's the difference? All the losers that occupy that bloated, inflated, egotistical entity are gone. Voila, poof, history. So we now get to David Hogg. I mentioned him last week briefly. He is demanding that Elon Musk be fired. I saw a thing on TV the other day that said that a bunch of leftists saying that it's time to impeach Elon Musk. So their claim, of course, is that he's not elected. Therefore, he's not functioning in a constitutional capacity. Well, obviously, if he's not elected, then the whole impeachment thing kind of falls apart. But, you know, I covered that before. I don't want to go backwards here. But David Hogg is demanding, of course, that Elon Musk be fired. And his replacement that he is demanding, Why does he even matter? The left is so far left, the Democrat Party is so demonically possessed and obsessed that they have picked this guy as the vice chairman of the DNC at 24 years old, an inflated ego, hatred like you can't believe, and he's demanding that Musk be replaced with queer number one Pete Buttigieg. Pete Buttigieg, no brains, definitely no cojones, grossly immoral, grossly, unbelievably incompetent. This is the left doesn't get it. They just keep, it's like, okay, we've been going 50 miles per hour here on the way to hell. Let's take it up to 100 miles per hour. That's pretty much what they're doing. And the divide just gets wider and wider and wider. And why it's so serious, you'll find out in a few minutes. Even more serious than we tend to think. But Nancy Mace makes the headlines this week that $10 million was spent of taxpayer money, $10 million, through the, what is the, it says the transgender lab rats and poisoned puppies oversight of taxpayer-funded animal cruelty was not the title of the agency. That was the title of the hearing, where it was determined that DEI grants funded the attempt to create tranny animals. You can't make this up. $10 million to try to create tranny animals. Why? Because if they think they can create them, then that makes all the other trannies who are, very frankly, I haven't seen a tranny that wasn't demon-possessed. They need to be delivered. It's not just screwed up. I think they're possessed at the worst, obsessed at the least. And they're trying to prove through these animals that they actually can change the gender, which really is sex. The change of sex, but they can't change the sex. So they have to deal with the word gender. They actually can change it through injections of various drugs. Why are they trying to create tranny mice, rats, and monkeys if it weren't for the fact that it's an attempt to try to make trannies feel better, that they're not alone? They got friends in the rat business. You dirty rat. I'm going to get you. Like, you got my brother. See, you dirty rat. You dirty rat. I forgot who that guy was, but you can tell me. RedSkyRadio777@gmail.com. Oh, his name's right on the he's from way back before I was born. But anyway, so you got this project, the transgender lab rats and poisoned puppies oversight of taxpayer funded animal cruelty. Nancy Mace brought this out. God bless this girl. $10 million just kissed away down a rat hole. Well, we move on. There are some notable dinglings in the Democratic Party. And I think they're almost all dinglings, but the notable ones are the ones who think they're wise and they mouth off and spout off. They don't know diddly what they're talking about, and they aren't even aware of what they say half the time. And who am I speaking about? Ayanna Pressley. So somewhere up on top of Mount Baldy there, you have this woman who is trying desperately to sound relevant, coherent, intelligent, and yet all she can do, the only thing she can do, is alternate the volume of her speech. Nothing else makes any sense. But I actually like it that they shoot their mouth off because they don't know what they admit. I mean, isn't it pretty exciting when Democrats actually reveal their strategy, when they tell you who they are? So this is Ms. Presley's comment the other day. Got all the people surrounding her. Whole bunch of leftist losers. Sorry about the redundancy. She said, and I quote, "We are willing to work with anyone who is serious about doing the work of censoring American people." I'm going to read it. Can you believe? You want to talk about a constitutional crisis? This, Presley and the Democrats, are the constitutional crisis. Everything that they propose is a constitutional crisis. We are willing to work with anyone who is serious about doing the work of censoring American people. Ayanna, baby, can you spell First Amendment? Maybe not. I don't know. Unbelievable. And no wonder Trump has come out. At this stage, it is a request. Because I, for some reason, he's not ordering it, but he has requested the people in a number of agencies, I don't think it's all of the agencies yet, to put in writing what would justify their existence as a federal employee. Hey, I worked for a while in the private sector. I hate having a boss. That's why I'm self-employed, have been for 9/10 of my life. But what would I hear from the boss? It didn't matter how good a job I did. It was, hey, that was a great job, Christmas party. I get some tchotchke for doing this or that. And that's the Christmas party. Then the first meeting after the 1st of January, it'll be, what have you done for me lately? That's the way it works. I understand it. That's the way they try. So, in other words, you're basically saying justify your continued existence. It wasn't said that way, but that was the intent. And Trump, certainly, with some influence from Musk, is saying justify your existence as a federal employee. I love the Babylon Bee piece. Came out just this morning, where it takes the guy, they're calling him Lil X, Musk's, gosh, I don't know how old he is, maybe 5 or so, who is in that video doing the presser, the news conference from the Oval Office, where Trump is just sitting there and listening to Musk. It is his news conference. And Musk has his little son. He's got 12 kids. He's got the 5-year-old, whatever he is, all dressed up in a nice suit. Man, the kid looks sharp, but he even looks smart. Sometimes people just plain look smart. I'm convinced this kid is smarter than a significant portion of federal employees. I'm serious. At his age, and if he's not yet, give him till he's about 8 or 9. And he will be. Barron Trump is smarter than probably 98% of federal employees. They're smart people, and that scares the crap out of the left. People that are generally more moral and a heck of a lot smarter, that they would lose in a debate dogfight, in a heartbeat, if there were one. But the Babylon Bee piece, and I don't have it exactly in front of me, but it shows this kind of mid-30s millennial, older Gen Z guy kind of wringing his hands and holding his head in his hands while they have photoshopped Lil X, Musk's child, saying something like, "Now, explain to me again here what exactly it is that you're doing here and what you do." And, gosh, look it up. I didn't say it quite right, but it is hilarious. Well, so there you go, Ayanna. She comes out, not a very intelligent woman, but Stunningly, she voices the party's demand that the American people have a cork put in their mouth by whatever means possible, be that the mainstream media or the government. Well, it can't happen with the government right now. Not easily. And the people who will try to do it will get found out and fired, as they should be. So she's calling on the mainstream media, which cheated, which always cheats. They're 94, I think it might be up to 96% of the mainstream media journalists, loosely so-called, vote Democrat. There are virtually no Republicans in the mainstream media. Or if there are, they've been very secretive about it to keep their job. Anyway, moving on. I like this. Trump's negotiation strategies, I love them. On a drastically smaller scale, I have used his negotiation strategies for 20 years. And I'll tell you what I mean. And it's the opposite of virtually what every other lawyer does, but I don't care. I've used it and it works. If I am in a, let's say, verbal altercation with the attorney of the opposing side, I'll tell him why his case sucks. And I don't use that word, although I have on a rare occasion, if it's that bad. Why his client is a no good, you know, is a scoundrel, what have you. Nobody can believe him. Maybe you don't even believe him. I'm overstating it, but you're getting the point. In other words, what I do in the beginning of the negotiation, particularly in a letter, I will blast him between the eyes as hard as I can. This is what Trump does. And then he winds it down at the end to get to the negotiation point that he's after, which is what I've done for 20 years. Blast him as hard as I can within reason. I don't want to cross the line to being unprofessional. But they'll get the point. Have done it just 3 weeks ago. I hit hard, really hit hard. And I have the other side's attorney now wanting to get together and see if we can settle the matter. And so you come out hard, and then you find your way to a softer spot towards the end. And what do? My words, you dress the wounds at the end that you inflicted in the beginning. So how does this relate to Trump? Well, what did he say the other day? Hamas is fiddling around, dinking around, not giving the hostages. You know, Israel has to release, what is it, something like 120 for every one hostage. It's a worse deal in the world, and they're stuck with doing it. They're stuck with it, which angers me. But Trump has said, look, if you got till Saturday, I think high noon, right? Gunfight, okay, corral, high noon. Got till high noon on Saturday to exchange these hostages, or you will, quote, have hell to pay. The threat, I'm going to toast and roast you and blow you to smithereens. And the good news along with this is that Netanyahu is not only fully behind it, he's being restored as the premier leader of Israel, whereas support was kind of flailing there because he's not getting the hostages back. But with the help of Donald Trump, not only is his support rising among the public, 100% of Israel's cabinet has said, yep, Trump is right. We join you. And they right now are moving various army units surrounding Gaza. Does it have to happen? Well, no, maybe there's a hard wound at the beginning and you dress the wound at the end. Maybe this will be enough. But it doesn't get there without ready and willing to roast them. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. That's Red Sky Radio, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Thank you.
Have you heard the story of the hot rod race where the Fords and Lincolns were setting the pace? That story is true. I'm here to say I was driving that Model A. It's got a Lincoln motor and it's really souped up. That Model A body makes it look like a pup's got 8 cylinders and uses them all. Got overdrive, just won't stall.
Well, I have to tell you, I accidentally stuck in the wrong song. But the song I was going to play today was 409 by the Beach Boys, which is another car song. So I'm sort of in the same genre. I don't know how I messed that up, but I was going to play I Love the Roaring Engines at the beginning, and She's Real Fine, my 409, and so forth. But anyway, I actually rewrote this song, Hot Rod Lincoln, and I'm going to do it in church. I've repurposed that song, and we'll be doing it a little ways down the road in church. Looking forward to doing that fun version that I feel like God gave me for that song. Okay, so let's move on here because we have Rep. Robert Garcia, Democrat from California, who said, "This is what we're facing, folks." Said that Musk is, quote, harming the American public in an enormous way. And what I think is really important and what the American public is for us to bring actual weapons to this bar fight. Actual weapons. He goes on to say this is an actual fight for democracy, for the future of this country. When he's saying actual weapons, an actual fight, he's talking about real weapons and a real fight. This bozo brain Garcia from California is threatening what? The word begins with an I, so frequently used by the Democrats, called insurrection. He's calling, he doesn't say that, but this is if you're going to bring arms to fight this administration, it's an insurrection. The alleged insurrection had no arms. There was no attempt to overthrow the government. An insurrection, by definition, involves the use of arms and violence of a considerable degree. Exactly what this guy is calling for. And he said this is an actual, meaning a real fight for democracy. And he says, it's really important, and this is what the American public wants, is for us to bring actual weapons to a bar fight. Really? Is that what America really wants? Is that why you pack a loser's lost, not only the Electoral College vote, but the popular vote? I mean, goodness sakes. And this is a fight for democracy? Wait a second. Democracy, Jack, is what we just experienced with the election. That was what we experienced. And you're fighting for that to be overthrown, but you're calling a fight against proof positive that democracy prevailed, the rule of law prevailed. You're calling a fight against democracy, democracy? I'll tell you, if you're in California and this guy's in your district, vote this moron out. What a loser. But this is the stuff they're saying. Bring your weapons. This comes up right after an ad popped up in the DC Today, which is a magazine or an online thing, that calls for the assassination of Elon Musk. And just quoting one of the people who responded here, quote, Robert Garcia needs criminal charges immediately. Congress should censor him or expel him. He also should be permanently banned or suspended on X, Facebook, for violating their rules. All violent politicians should face real-world consequences. I mean, they always have these rules where any intimation stretched and strained against a conservative gets booted off these social websites based on violating the standards for intimating that violence might be involved. Here's somebody who's calling for weapons. Do they take them off? No. So defending democracy now means openly calling for violence against political opponents. Quoting here from, who am I quoting? I can't see who I copy this. Sorry, but I'm quoting somebody. So defending democracy now means openly calling for violence against political opponents. The mask is off. Democrats aren't just corrupt. They are dangerous. If there's no accountability for this, they will keep escalating. The call for violence against Musk came the same day a mysterious ad appeared in the Washington, D.C., stating also, in addition to this other one I just said, help eliminate Musk. My goodness. The disgusting threat was made against Elon Musk for helping President Trump eliminate government waste and protect taxpayer dollars. A quote from Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina. What that dangerous, dangerous behavior of rooting out government waste and protecting taxpayer dollars is the basis upon which we need to assassinate him. That's what the left is saying. Well, let me just ask something here, just theoretical, because he's gone from office. So if they want to assassinate Elon Musk for allegedly controlling Trump, and trust me, nobody controls Trump. I think Melania tries, but I don't think that's worked out. She's classy, but she's not running that household. So what if we said back when Joy No Brains Corn Pop Biden, let's kill whoever is controlling Joe Biden? Do you know how fast the FBI would descend in some situation like that? And you got probably one of the worst Baptist preachers in the entire United States from the Greater Second Missionary Baptist Church of Chattanooga, Tennessee, a town I otherwise like, but this pastor, Steve Caudill. And I mentioned this last week, but in the context of these new events, I'm going to repeat it. He says, I pray that the peace of God will win out and overcome the madness that is attempting to take over this nation. Well, wait a second. Attempting to take over this nation. Trump is in power. So the madness that's trying to take it over would be from the left, not from the right. Trump is in charge. The right is in charge. They're not trying to take it over. That's who's ruling. So if somebody is going to try to take it over, it'd be somebody who's trying to throw out Trump. But this guy is such a loser, he can't connect any dots because there are no dots to connect in his thought process here. And he said, and I will say to you, beloved, no one likes violence. This guy talks more like a Presbyterian. But he concludes with, but sometimes violence is necessary. Sometimes the devil will act so ugly that you have no other choice but to get violent and fight. So this is a guy who wouldn't recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore, essentially saying, we're fighting against the devil. He's basically saying Donald Trump is demon-possessed. Like the not-so-funny comedian, what's her name, Chelsea Handler, goodness sakes, who called Melania Trump a prostitute, in effect, called her a whore, or as part of her comedy. She was doing the awards at the Critics' Choice Award. Well, I'm a critic, and I exercise my choice not to watch a lousy, crappy program like that. But all of this, of course, has triggered the constant, nauseating call of the day, the call of the wild, the call of the untamed Democrats, that we're having a constitutional crisis. That's all I hear. The constitutional crisis is what we had with the previous administration. They got nothing left except more lies and apparently the encouragement to get guns and kill people who are in critical positions in office. Well, at any rate, what is next? Well, I'm running out of time, you guys. I'm going to go to this one. So the Pentagon, this is how deep the deep state is. This occurred after the election, before the swearing in. In other words, who's going to be the new sheriff was in town was determined, but it occurred before the new sheriff moved in. The Pentagon. So Pete Hegseth says DEI efforts are out. No exceptions. None whatsoever. And so what do we find? Is that during this interim period, what's they call that? The interregnum, sort of. I think that's between kings, time between rulers. Sort of like, I don't know, roughly equivalent to our lame duck. But that in preparation of the Trump's second presidency, the Pentagon, which has, and I did not realize this, has 161 schools that they run in 11 foreign countries in 7 U.S. states and 2 territories, which school 67,000 plus military personnel. The Department of Defense Education Activity Agency, knowing what Trump has said about getting rid of DEI, and with a Hegseth nomination that DEI elimination was coming, to conceal it, to hide it, to remove it from obvious view, did they change anything? No, they renamed it. They renamed diversity, equity, and inclusion resilience in an effort to conceal their nefarious objectives from the pit of hell. My goodness. Next one here. Are we having fun yet? Most recent investigation came out yesterday. It confirms really what we knew, but it confirms now that Biden was the one who was behind the FBI raid at Trump's Florida home from the very beginning. This is the equivalent, and I don't know why no one's saying this, but this is the equivalent of Nixon not only knowing, but basically giving the orders for the Watergate break-in. It went right to the top. Now, he did it with Ehrlichman and Haldeman, two of his cohorts, but Nixon greenlighted it, which makes him responsible. How is this any different? How is it any different when you are the one who confirms an unlawful raid, rampant raid, with all the agents armed, going through personal stuff to get at something for an alleged violation that you, Joey No Brains, were the one who was guilty of before, always, and forever? Do we even have the classified documents back that Joey stored in his garage behind his Corvette? I don't know. Some of them are at the University of Pennsylvania, I think. Did they come back? I don't know. But to have this guy who goes after Trump for purely political reasons with the full force of the FBI to be the one who actually has committed the thing that he's alleging Trump to have done. And by the way, which Mike Pence did. Nobody came after him. They didn't come after Joe Biden. They just came after the Donald. And the FBI was totally and completely complicit in that. Well, all right. I'm going to start something that I don't know if I'm going to be able to finish. But I'm going to start it because I got to get to a point, and maybe I pick up on it next week. I am going to read, this is just so incredible, from the World News World News and Commentary, a title called The Swamp Apocalypse. You can look it up. It's a good read. But I'm just going to read it and interject my points to get as far as I can in this piece in the time that I have. And I'll just start here. It says, the Trump team fooled everybody, including me. I'm quoting the writer here, of course. And I want to quickly inject, Trump has fooled me too, in a great sort of way. This is sheer brilliance. This is the getting the left to fall for the red herring while you go after and set up the real answer, the real goal for rooting out the wokeness and the corruption at the federal level. So continuing with a quote, at last week's various lawsuits sprouted restraining orders like early buds emerging all over the willow trees in springtime. Most commentators expected Trump to take the necessary pause for a defensive retrenchment. Surely we all thought it would take Trump's anti-bureaucrats some time to clear the newly created judicial logjam. But all of us were wrong. And I'm going to throw in here, I'm part of the Me Too movement. Me too. I was wrong. A brief pause to clear past the temporary restraining orders was never Trump's strategy at all. No pauses. Instead, yesterday Trump, I'm quoting here, it was actually a couple days ago now, Trump tripled down, jamming the battle tank's acceleration into overdrive and smashing ahead in a whole different direction. His new battlefield banner unfurled yesterday afternoon in the form of one executive order plus three separate press conferences, which together are sending a just relaxing, newly relaxing deep state enemy, now once again racing for the bunkers with their trousers half off. It was a simultaneously coordinated assault deployed with consummate skill in one afternoon. And it all happened at once. Starting with Speaker Mike Johnson and his incredible comments covered by various news associations, I want to say, but misdirecting him, misquoting him, or creating an image that was not correct. The Times got upset because Johnson told reporters that he agreed with the president could unilaterally withhold congressionally authorized payments if they are wasteful, fraudulent, or abusive. The speaker said there's a presumption in America that the commander-in-chief is going to be a good steward of taxpayer dollars. Johnson also pointed out that the DOGE workers were better able to make decisions on government funding than Congress, since the agencies have hidden some of this from us. And as welcome as that was, the writer here says, that's the least interesting. Consider what followed. First, Johnson confronted the Democrats' new constitutional crisis narrative and said, quote, the Democratic Party is completely different in a place right now. There's no identified leader of the party. They don't have a clear vision. They just seem rudderless. In hopes of finding themselves, they've latched onto this new shiny object called the rule of law. Well, we'd like to welcome them to the concept. It would be more admirable if they hadn't spent the last 4 years with their heads buried in the sand while Biden literally trampled the rule of law without objection. In fact, many Democrats cheered the lawlessness, like when Biden administration unconstitutionally forced the middle class to pay for student loans of doctors and lawyers. Then they illegally mandated that private companies implement vaccine requirements. They radically rewrote Title IX to undermine women's rights. Those things actually were illegal. But the Democratic Party cheered it on. They didn't oppose it at all. Then, Johnson continues with, he said, I met with Elon Musk yesterday to get an update to me. It is very exciting what they're able to do. What Elon and the Doge effort are doing right now is what Congress has been unable to do in the recent years because the agencies have hidden some of this from us. Doge is uncovering all of this as we've known intuitively. It's been there, but we couldn't actually prove it. Now the proof is being provided, and no one can argue the contrary to it. So stay tuned. There's a lot more to come, for the courts should take a step back and allow these processes to play out. But Doge is making sure that your tax dollars are spent in the way they were intended to be spent. And now the coup de grace. He concludes, the Speaker Johnson, we have a $36 trillion federal debt. We have to get a hold of these things. You're going to see it reflected in the reconciliation package that comes forward. You're going to see it reflected in the appropriations as we go forward. And you're going to see it in these efforts to cut waste, fraud, and abuse. And we think the final number of that is going to be a substantial and game changer in Washington. Okay, what have I been saying for the last 2 years? The only way you can get at Democrats is to give them a financial spanking. That has been absolutely correct. The financial spanking is how you cut these suckers off at the knees with a rusty knife. But this is the brilliance that Trump and Musk have that I don't have. What has Doge done? Doge has gone in there, which I'm going to get into more next week, and has absolutely verified the corruption and the abuses. And so the idea with the left is, well, let's sue Trump into being forced to continue these payments and subsidizing this and that and keeping these workers. And all it was to bring out all this irrefutable truth, which no decent Republican or even a decent Democrat, if there is such a thing, could actually refute and deny, and it gives Congress now the absolute verifiable, irrefutable proof of the corruption and waste, and thereby the moral authority to eliminate departments. You see, Doge wasn't going to get to the point where Trump could just go around and fire everybody, because he can't. He can fire some. I don't know the constitutional nuances here. But if what Doge uncovers becomes the marching orders and the basis by which Congress now has the goods on the left, Congress now knows how bad the corruption and the waste is. Congress now knows people who go into office as a Democrat with a net worth of $2 million and come out with $20 million 4 years later. Congress is now beyond excuse, in fact, has the goods upon which to politically take the knees off the federal government agencies, which are many of them, completely, yeah, like the Department of Education, and substantially of others, like the FBI. I've been saying for years, why not cut Trump, cut the budget, or whoever gets in here, we're not going to ever get a hold of this unless you spank the crap out of them financially. Congress, have some cojones. Cut these budgets for all these suckers that have got their heads in a pig trough forever. And then conceal where the money is going, patting each other on the back because the ruse is working. They have found a way to conceal this from Congress ever finding it. So what does Congress do? Oh my gosh, nothing. But Trump brings in Doge, these young brainiacs, which find all of this corruption and waste. and brings it to the forefront, where not only does Congress now have the ammo, they are without excuse to move forward and start the massive hemorrhage of federal employees, by the which we will then be able to actually cut the federal deficit. And then we go into the Pentagon. Maybe we're done with $500 toilet seats. That's not going to be around as long as Musk and his boys are in there. Yeah, baby, have at it. It was brilliant. It was just they're doing it, but the purpose of doing it wasn't to try to give Trump the authority to whack him personally. It was to give the ammo to Congress. My goodness. I don't know who thought of this. Besides Trump and Musk, you guys are absolutely brilliant. Go at it. Have at it. Remember, sit tall in the saddle, America. Enjoy the days ahead, because we ride for the brand of Jesus Christ. See you next week.